time he to enter pursues the prosecute, let them come forward and they shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth and this honorable court.
Please be seated. Welcome to this session of the Supreme Court of Virginia. I am Chief Justice S. Bernard Goodwin. All of the justices of the court are present, with Senior Justices Charles Russell and Senior Justice Leroy Millette sitting because of two current vacancies on the court. The audio of this session is being live streamed on a link which can be accessed through the Virginia Supreme Court website. Welcome, everyone. Ms. Clerk, please call the first case.
Seymour et al. Versus Roanoke County Board of Supervisors et al. Joseph M. Rainsbury, Brian S. Wheeler, Appellant's Counsel. Peter S. Lubick, County Attorney. James I. Gilbert IV, Appellee's Counsel.
You may proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Joe Rainsbury, representing the appellants. And with me at council table is my colleague, Brian Wheeler. And I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I could.
All right.
And we've got two assignments of error that are before the court, but I'd like to spend my time primarily on the first assignment of error, which concerns standing. And the second assignment of error, which concerns the trial court's failure to reach count five, is a subsidiary issue, and I think the court doesn't even need to reach it if it agrees with the appellants on the standing question. So this is a case involving a land use decision by the County of Roanoke. Plaintiffs are the owners of residential properties in southwest Roanoke County. Beautiful part of the world, stone's throw from the parkway, my neck of the woods. And the problem has arisen in this case because one of their neighbors decided to convert a residence into a wildlife rescue center. And the problem really has arisen because the property on which the wildlife center sits is landlocked. It doesn't have any public road frontage. And so what this means is that the only way to access the wildlife center is to travel along a private easement, a private road, a one-lane gravel driveway. And that driveway traverses my client's properties. And as you would imagine, converting private residence into a wildlife center has dramatically increased the amount of traffic that goes over this private road. And that traffic's already caused problems for my clients. But the particular issue in this case has arisen because the wildlife center has sought to expand to add a large aviary for raptors, eagles, falcons, and whatnot. And this is not a bird cage. This is a substantial structure. The footprint is actually larger than the residence that's currently on the property. Now, to do this, the Wildlife Center needed to get a special use permit from the county. They applied for it, and the county granted it. And my clients filed a timely challenge to the county's decision. But this case isn't about whether the county's action in approving that special use permit was appropriate. What this case is about is whether my clients even had the right to come into court to challenge that decision. And the circuit court rather astonishingly held that they did not, and concluded that even though they were immediate neighbors, even though this private road traveled directly over their property, they didn't have standing to even contest the county's decision. So, in essence, it closed the courthouse doors before my clients could even make their case. And we submit that this was error. Now, the law governing this case is real simple. As a general matter, the purpose of standing is to ensure that the plaintiff has a sufficient interest to make sure that there is adversity and that the issues will be developed fully and faithfully. It's basically to ensure that the plaintiff has a dog in the fight.
And counsel, the seminal case is Friends of the Rappahannock. I'm sure you're going to address that at some point.
Yes, sir.
But how is this distinguishable is probably key for your argument.
Sure. Well, in that case, this court established a two-part standard for standing. There's ownership. You have to own property in close proximity to the land subject to the land use decision, and you have, and plaintiffs have to show that they're aggrieved. And the issue in Rappahannock and in this case concerns the second element, whether the plaintiffs were aggrieved. And your question is, how is this case different? Well, they're similar in the sense that the plaintiffs complain about the same sorts of injuries. I mean, noise, traffic, dust, and the like. But where they differ is that the plaintiffs in this case have explained in rather excruciating detail exactly how the expansion of use of this property will cause them specific injuries. And if you look at the joint appendix...
I mean, one of the differences in Friends of the Rappahannock was the permit was subject to certain conditions.
33 of them.
And so one way to read that is there's some speculation on the part of the plaintiffs, well, this might happen to us, this might happen to us. And possibly your case is different because if there are raptors, they're going to make noise, I mean, et cetera.
Well, not only that, but there's an experience of the actual harm. I mean, the Wildlife Center has been open for several years already, and the usage over the years has intensified with the increasing usage of the Wildlife Center. And it stands to reason that if they open a huge raptor center, that there's going to be further intensification
Council,
of use.
Where are we starting our measurement of harm? Are we starting with the initial installation of the buildings that are already there? Are we looking at the increased harm caused by the addition of the Raptor building, or does it matter for your argument?
Well, it does matter, and we're looking at both. And the reason is because the county has taken the position that the granting of the special use permit grandfathered in the existing structures that have been erected outside the residence. Now, those structures were erected without a special use permit, and the county zoning administrator has found that they actually needed a special use permit for those. And so, at the hearing, the county took the position that the granting of the special use permit would grandfather those in. So, those structures are relevant, and the creation of those structures are relevant, and those are the structures that created the harm in the past. Now,
how did those structures create harm in the past?
Well, we've alleged, and I think it stands to reason, that the construction of these enclosures, it's where the animals recuperate after being treated, enables the Wildlife Center to do its job. And it certainly increases their capacity versus their not having any of these external structures. So, I mean, it increases the amount of animals they can treat, which increases the amount of traffic, which exacerbates the injury that my clients have suffered.
So this is an aggravation of a pre-existing harm, so to speak, if you wanted to analogize this to a personal injury case. The aggravation is the particularized harm.
That's right, and I mean the aggravation has occurred in the past, and certainly with the erection of a Raptor Center, it's going to be even worsened in the future.
Did you allege specific out-of-pocket costs associated with some of these harms?
There's no allegation, and I don't know how you would compute it. There is an allegation that the property values have been diminished, that you know, the property value declined, over the course of the years, and it's alleged because of the Wildlife Center. So there's an allegation of some economic injury, although it's not quantified in the amended, second amended complaint.
Excuse me, what about the maintenance of the road?
If there's more traffic, does that necessitate more road maintenance, gravel, that type of thing?
Well, exactly. You know, this is basically a private driveway, and the Wildlife Center is at the end of it. And as a private residence, you would expect maybe a couple trips a day. And that's not what they've been experiencing with the Wildlife Center. We're talking about 20 to 50 trips up and down the road a day. And obviously, the more you drive on a gravel road, the more often you have to maintain it, the more often you have to put gravel on it, the more often you have to grade it and all that stuff. And that costs money.
Excuse me, who's responsible for that maintenance?
I don't believe that's in the record. I imagine there is a road maintenance agreement between all the properties, but I don't think there's anything in the record that addresses that.
I didn't find it either. I just wondered
right.
if you knew.
Thank
you. Might that be something that your clients could address through some type of action concerning the easement, the burden on the easement that's being increased?
That occurred to me too, Your Honor, but that's not something that's been raised in this case. And I don't think it really affects the standing inquiry. I mean, because what the sole question before the court today is whether my clients have a dog in this fight, whether they have any right to come into court and say, hey, the county got it wrong, they violated their own rules, they violated their own comprehensive plan. And so all we're asking today is for us to have a chance to state our case. So, yes, there may be alternate remedies, but I don't think that affects the analysis here.
Well, doesn't it affect the analysis to the extent that the harm is a result of, you know, abuse of an easement as opposed to zoning?
Well, but the only way that the harm could occur is if the court grants the special use permit to retroactively approve the use and to prospectively approve the intensification of the use with the erection of the Raptor Center. So it's a necessary condition. Now, perhaps it's also a overburdening of the easement, and there might be another remedy for that as well. But I think, you know, there is a direct relationship between the county's decision and the harm that we're alleging in the Second Amended complaint. Now, just briefly to address the trial court's opinion, you know, the trial court claimed that the allegations of, you know, noise, dust, and injury were conclusory. And I just don't know how the court got to that conclusion. I mean, the Second Amended complaint spends 7 or 8 pages detailing the harm and the cause of the harm that my clients have suffered. And it goes into very concrete and specific detail. Now, I mean, as I understand it, conclusory means something like, you know, alleging plaintiffs were aggrieved, right? Stating a legal conclusion without any underlying facts. But that's not the case here. The Second Amendment complaint goes into great detail. And for the circuit court to say that this is conclusory, really, I don't know, understand how the court came to that conclusion.
Counsel, you wanted to reserve 3 minutes. You're down to 2.5.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to reserve that time unless the court has further questions. All right.
Thank you and good morning. May it please the court, my name is Peter Lubeck and I'm counsel for the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors. And it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Thank you. And it's my understanding that 10 minutes of the argument has been reserved for the county.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
You may.
Thank you. And as the court may be aware, this is a companion matter to a matter that was recently before this court with a record number of 200521, in which the appellants challenged several determinations made by the Roanoke County Zoning Administrator regarding the Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center's use of the property located at 5985 Coleman Road. And in the prior matter, this court, in its order of October 29th of 2020, denied the petition for appeal and upheld the trial court's determination that the appellants lacked standing in that matter. And I would like to begin by emphasizing some similarities between that prior matter and the present matter.
But as you recall, during that writ panel argument, the court was concerned about the lack of specificity in the pleadings, and these pleadings appear to be far more specific on harms, particularized harms. Is that a distinguishing factor?
Your Honor, I believe it certainly the new pleadings are more specific. However, I do believe that it's somewhat repackaged and restatement of the harms. And I believe that there is a commingling of the issues, which I think is extremely important. In the prior matter, the issue, to start off with both of the issues, the sole matter before the court is the issue of standing and whether the appellants have standing to bring their claims before the court. Also, that what is similar between the prior matter and the present matter is that the alleged harms are identical, and they center around the traffic on Coleman Road. Now, what is different is that in the prior matter, the appellant sought to, again, challenge determinations made by the Roanoke County Zoning Administrator, and specifically, and I'll quote from page 11 of the appellant's prior petition for appeal, beginning to quote, that the present use of the Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center property is conforming and properly classified as a veterinary hospital clinic, end of quote. In other words, the appellants alleged that the property's use is a wildlife center.
Does the fact that it's a private road, a gravel dirt road, as I understand it, change things? I mean, all of our other cases are public roads, and we're talking about a comparator between a private interest and a public interest. I would think the private interest would be at its apogee when you're dealing with a private easement road.
Andrew, I do believe that potentially could come into play, and perhaps the proper remedy would be an overburdening of an easement.
Well, that's just an alternative remedy. That's not a substitute for having a challenge of the zoning procedure.
Yes, Your Honor, but I believe that the main issue that the court should look at today is the issue of causation. And in the prior matter, if the issue before the court was whether the use of the property is a wildlife center, the opening, the operation, whether the use of the property as the wildlife center contributed to traffic, which contributed to harms to the appellants. If the appellants lacked standing in that matter, the issue before the court today is much more narrow.
Well, a couple thoughts there. As you know, I was on that panel, and the concern expressed from the bench was a lack of specificity in the pleadings. How much more specific could they have gotten than they did in this particular case?
Yes, sir. I think what they have taken great pains to do is to allege in this new pleading, to take in more pains to allege what harms have already occurred as a result of the of the operation of this facility, and they have attempted to allege that the construction of new rehabilitation structures have caused the increase in traffic. However, they have alleged no facts whatsoever to support their allegations that the erection of new structures have caused the
increase. But isn't their argument that the erection of the Raptor building will exacerbate the problems that have already been caused by the existing buildings?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. That is one of their arguments. And again, I believe that is a speculative and conclusory.
Well, why is that not a reasonable inference? I mean, if, you know, business expands and adds new options, presumably it's because they expect people to avail themselves of that and therefore for more people to come, right?
And, Your Honor, I believe that would make sense in a typical business, but the Wildlife Center is not a typical business. To illustrate, we have set forth in our response to their petition, what the argument alleges, what the Wildlife Center alleges their form of business is the general public does not know what structures the Wildlife Center has. All the public knows is that there's a Wildlife Center there and that it's the only Wildlife Center in West Virginia. If there's an injured animal, they bring the animal to the Wildlife Center regardless of what structure might accommodate a certain animal.
But this case went off on demur, right?
Pardon?
This case went off on a demur.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, they make the allegation, you say, well, that's not true, you can't prove that. They go to a hearing, and you can win if they can't prove it. There's no standing. It doesn't mean they have standing because the demur shouldn't have been granted. It means they have an opportunity to actually contest the factual predicates for standing. They don't get all the way to trial simply on allegation in a standing case.
Yes, sir. And certainly, we do argument today that there's simply a lack of factual support with regards to causation.
But we're talking about factual allegations with regard to causation, not factual support. That requires an evidentiary hearing. I mean, they could put on evidence that the aviaries all over the United States, you know, quadruple or whatever. Or you can put on evidence that it won't increase the pre-existing harm one iota. So am I misunderstanding the question before us? The question is, do we get past a demur on standing allegations?
Yes, sir, I believe that yes, that the court may get past the demur on on standing allegations. And if I could quote some of the language from the Friends of the Rappahannock case, which does focus in on causation. On page 49 of the court's decision in Friends of the Rappahannock, the court stated that, quote, although the complainants presented conclusory allegations as to possible harms, the general objections pled by the individual complainants present no factual background upon which an inference can be drawn that Black Marsh's particular use of the property would produce such harms and thus impact the complainants. Thus, the individual complainants have not met their burden to provide sufficient facts in their complaint to allege how this particular use, Black Marsh's sand and gravel extraction
site. But the allegations here is, look, they put this thing in and we had a lot of harms. We can't do anything about it now, but now they want to add to what they put in. So they're arguing they have a historical precedent for bad things happening. And they're saying you're making it worse, therefore the reasonable inference is additional bad things will happen. That's their thesis.
Yes, sir.
That wasn't in the Rappahannock case. That logic was not in the Rappahannock case.
Yes. I do think that it is analogous here in that it does address whether it would produce, whether it would cause. And here, it could be a common sense that the operation of the center might be the contributing factor to the increase in traffic. But there is no facts alleged whatsoever to state that the construction of additional structures has caused an increase in traffic.
Well, again, correct my logic if you think I'm not thinking it through correctly. Their argument is, look, they put this thing up, that caused problems. They put this thing up, that caused problems. Now they want to put a new thing up, and that's likely going to cause the same kind of aggravating or exacerbating problems as the previous things. That's their theory.
Yes, Your Honor, that is their theory, but I do not believe that they have alleged any facts to support that they have put up a structure and that has caused problems. They've simply said that structures have been constructed during the use. And if I could briefly turn to page, I invite the court's attention to page 4 of the reply brief in the present matter, wherein the appellant stated, the Second Amendment complaint specifically alleges that since the opening of the Wildlife Center, there has been a 20 to 50 fold increase in traffic. The Wildlife Center is the only other property served by the private road. Thus, a reasonable, indeed the only reasonable explanation for the increase in traffic is the creation, operation, and expansion of the Wildlife Center. Today, we are not here about opening. We're not here about creation. We're not here about operation. We are only here about expansion. And they have alleged no facts whatsoever with regards to expansion to support
the reasonable inferences. Justice Kelsey's questions, I think, are trying to delve into is that the creation has caused increased traffic. Now you've added another building. The reasonable inference is that will increase more traffic. Why isn't that enough to survive demur, or to give them standing to survive demur?
Yes, Your Honor. Again, I believe that what would be required in order to establish causation is to show that there is an effect between the erection of a structure and an increase in traffic. And frankly, there have just been no facts whatsoever to support such an allegation. I do see that my time is up, but I'd be happy to answer any additional questions that the court may have.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Jim Gilbert. I represent the appellants 5985 Coleman Road LLC and the Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center. The question is how specific does the facts need to be in the complaint to survive demur? And I think that there's two cases that illustrate the differences between the facts that need to be pled. One is, of course, Friends of the Rappahannock. There's a case before Friends of the Rappahannock that was decided a few years before that, the Riverview Farms case. And if you look at the facts in those two cases, in the Friends of the Rappahannock case, which, of course, we would proper as more similar to our case, in that case, Ms. Kaiser, a local landowner, said that there was going to be harm to tenants, diminishing value, noise, and dust. Mr. Mitchell, who was a lessee, said that the use of that was allowed was going to scare away his hunting and his wildlife. There were four other landowners across the river that said that they were going to have a problem with noise, dust, and traffic. And of course, Friends complained about water quality and scenic preservation. Compare that to the Riverview Farms case, where in Riverview Farms they actually had facts alleged that the court could grasp a hold of and say these are sufficient facts. And there were a couple of things in that case that were different from Friends' case. In that case, there was a U.S. Coast Guard study. They literally had a study that they alleged in the facts of their case that said the Coast Guard said that garbage juice was going to be a problem in the river. There was findings alleged from the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality that was alleged in that complaint. These were very specific things that were alleged.
But were they particularized?
Were they particular, you know, Justice, that's a good question, because are they particularized harms to these specific people versus the general public? And in
many of those cases, there were harms. They were clearly harms,
right,
but they were not particularized. Here, you're dealing with a private road.
We're dealing with a private road, and if my memory serves me correct, in Riverview Farms, it was a private road too, but in that case, Riverview Farms was a rezoning case. And what the argument was in that case was that the rezoning of the property basically made the private road an A1 use into more of a commercial use. In our case, ours isn't a rezoning case. Ours is a special use permit case. And our property is properly zoned. Our property is properly used. It's an agricultural residential use. Even though it was residential up to 2014, it's a properly zoned property for the veterinary uses that the Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center makes of it.
Let me ask a hypothetical question that by asking it, you're not conceding anything.
Well, thank you.
Suppose it were factually true that the addition of the aviary would produce additional maintenance costs, additional cleaning costs, additional costs of purchasing additional air filters, asthma attacks, near accidents involving children on the private road. Just hypothesize, while you're denying that is true, those facts could be proven. Would that not give particularized harm to the houses on the private road?
I would have to say only theoretically, because realistically, the opposite is true. One of the reasons why the traffic has increased is because the Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center doesn't have these buildings. An animal comes to the Wildlife Center, it's treated. Because the buildings aren't there, the animals have to be taken off-site to another facility to recuperate, and then they're brought back.
That's a great point. Maybe you should have an evidentiary hearing on that and make that point, but we're on a demur.
Right. Well, and you see, but the issue is Justice, you're right, is if they had pled sufficient facts in the complaint regarding traffic, then that would be true. But the issue is what they've said is this, is the traffic has or will increase 20 to 50 fold. Okay? They might as well have just said it's going to increase a lot. There's no facts to support the 20 to 50 fold whatsoever. There's no traffic count. There's no study that they've alleged. Nothing like in the Riverview Farms case where they said we have a U.S. Coast Guard study and we have a study by the Department of Environmental Quality. Nothing like that. All they said is it's going to increase a lot.
But if they said the traffic is going to increase a lot as to them, would that not be particularized, an allegation of particularized harm?
It might be a particularized harm, but there's no facts supporting that allegation. There's not like a traffic count that they have before. They don't have anything alleged other than what they say is it's increased a lot. And I would submit that that's
tell me why,
what they think they know, not a fact.
I guess this is, it's obviously it doesn't make any difference, but it bothers me if they can say the current buildings have increased traffic a lot. The new building is going to increase traffic even more. It's not 30 to 50%. There is no traffic counter out there counting the cars. But why isn't the problem that they've already suffered indicative of the problem they will suffer?
Justice, the only answer I give to that is because I think that's their opinion, and their opinion hasn't been based, hasn't been bolstered in their complaint, by, hasn't been supported by any facts that they've alleged. And that's, that's really the only answer that I can think of, Justice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. I believe you have 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
All right. Thank you. Just briefly, first, the county has brought up the other case that this court considered and rejected the appeal on. Justice Kelsey pointed out that the allegations in that case were less specific, but there's another difference because that was an appeal from the BZA decision about certain zoning administrator determinations. It wasn't an appeal from the special use permit. And in fact, the defendants took great pains in their opposition brief in that case of distinguishing that case from the SUP case. So I think that case just doesn't have any bearing on this case. As for Friends of the Rappahannock, the problem with Friends of the Rappahannock is that the plaintiffs in that case never told a plausible causal story of how the operation of this gravel mining operation would affect them. And let's be clear, these were huge tracks in Friends of the Rappahannock. I think the one on which the gravel mine was going to sit was 500 acres. The neighboring property was undeveloped and used for duck hunting. And then the one on the other side was used for farming, and it was a couple hundred acres. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about 0.3 acres, 0.5 acres, things like that. So it's close proximity. And there was no road that traveled over the plaintiff's property in Friends of the Rappahannock, and that's exactly what we have here. And then my final point is almost a rhetorical question, is, you know, if the auxiliary structures and the Raptor Center are not going to improve the ability and the throughput of the Wildlife Center to help wild animals, why are they building it? I mean, obviously, the point of building this is to help more animals recover. And the natural consequence of that is going to be an increase in traffic.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think it's going to help more animals to recover? I mean, because just like with Avery, I understand it's basically like a rehab cage for birds that have been hurt.
Well, because they can accept more. I mean, if they don't have any space for birds, I mean, people will call them up and they'll say, well, we can't accept anymore because all of our cages are currently filled.
That's what's been happening before. They've been turning people down.
Well, there haven't.
There are lots more raptors in Western Virginia that haven't been found.
This is all an interesting question of fact, and that I think we're entitled to develop with discovery. I mean, you know, we haven't been able to conduct full discovery on this, so maybe there are, maybe there aren't. I don't know. It's certainly not in the record, and it's not been alleged. I mean, we've alleged a fact, a solid fact, that they've erected these structures as a consequence. The amount of traffic on this road has increased. And so we're alleging causation, and causation is a quintessential question of
causation
fact.
Causation between
to be,
what, though? Because, you know, you certainly have causation between the clinic being there and the increase in traffic, but the causation, what makes you think that Avery's going to increase traffic even more?
Well, we think that by enhancing their facilities, they're going to be able to treat more animals, and so there's going to be even more traffic on the road. And I think, you know, whether we're right about that or not, at this stage in the proceedings, where we're entitled to all reasonable inferences, I think it's a reasonable inference that will happen.
And so it's basically, you're saying you don't have to really, in essence, plead with any specificity as to why you believe that it's going to increase. It's just like, well, we just think it's going to increase, and we need to have a hearing, and they can put on something to show it won't, and we'll put on something that shows that it will.
I see my time is expired, if I can answer the question. What we're saying is that all the law requires us in the complaint to do is to assert the facts that ground our legal claim. What they're saying we have to do is to prove with evidence, you know, irrefutable, you know, it's beyond any doubt that this would happen. And that's not the standard on demurrer. I think that the standard is whether from whether one could reasonably infer that an enhancement of the facility will increase the amount of traffic that goes on that road. And that's plausible. Whether it's right or wrong, we'll have a trial to decide.
All right. Thank you, Charles.
All right, thank you.
Please call the next case.